Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Bezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir number 447. We're going to talk about intimidating and manipulative reactions from one party. People sometimes in an argument get into a tantrum. A tantrum is not just the toddler that yells and kicks on the floor. The adults throw tantrums as well. It's sometimes expressed as emotional outbursts or extreme expressions of hurt, cold shoulder, silent treatment. All these things are different forms of tantrums. Now, in many cases, that reaction does not make it not legitimate that you made a request. If one of them made a normal request and the other one responded as a blow-up or a cold war, doesn't mean that you did anything wrong with asking for what you need. There's no reason to think it's all my fault, and if I wouldn't have made an issue, he or she wouldn't have blown up. That may not be correct at all. It's not a proof. A person's negative reaction is not a proof that the other person's wrong. Now that's the first thing one needs to understand. And the second thing is when you give in on an issue to calm a response from another party, that's not vatranas, that's not giving in, that's not a healthy giving in. It's like giving a blackmailer $1,000, you know. So when one is really doing these type of things and tantrums, need to know exactly how to deal with that. What sometimes could happen, though, is that one person's boundary setting is another person's tantrum. So in a case, for example, where a wife was subjected to being yelled at all the time, and her best option is indeed to say, you know, if you can't stop screaming at me, I'm just going to walk out the door. She's setting a healthy boundary. She's saying, I won't be subject to yelling. And she's defending her boundary. If you won't honor my request to stop and talk to me calmly, I will leave because being screamed at is not an option I'm willing to accept. That is not an unhealthy thing. That's a healthy boundary. That's not a tantrum. That's a self-protection, normal, healthy thing. What could be a tantrum is something like this. The husband asks his wife many times to invite his parents for Shabbos. She doesn't want to. One night he says, how about having my parents over for the Shabbos? It really bothers me you always say no. I think they're starting to feel insulted. And she says, it's too much work for me. I don't have time for it. And he answers, I hear it's too much work for you, but you're putting too much onto yourself. It doesn't have to be perfect. They just want to spend time with the kids. So now she feels backed in the corner. And she says, you don't think I'm working hard enough and I don't have to stand here and take it. I'm leaving. I'm walking out. In this case, she's setting a boundary because she doesn't want her in-laws there for Shabbos and won't discuss it anymore. But here, in this way, in this tone, this is manipulation. So that's the difference between these scenarios. You really need to be self-aware and understand what it is. In order to decide and to determine whether you're manipulating or taking a legitimate action, or whether your spouse is manipulating or taking a legitimate action, is number one is to understand what the intention really is. If your intention is to show him or her to punish them, now he'll have to do what I want, and you're coercing them to doing what you want, that's acts of aggression. While in the case of being yelled at and you're walking out because you're not going to accept that, that's not an act of aggression. That's an act of self-protection. Also ask yourself, you communicate your needs by sticking to those protocols that we mentioned in the past two shiurim. Did you first state your facts? Did you state calmly your feelings and emotions? Did you directly request what you needed? Did you validate their point of view? Did you prepare what they're going to say? And if you did all that in the right way, then you know you're on the right track. You could ask yourself if you did anything wrong to your spouse that would provoke such an intense reaction. Maybe you did something that wrong. And even if you had done something wrong, is your spouse's reaction proportion to it? Because again, you have abusers where they'll say, you know, if they blow up at some crazy thing, they blow up, and then they say, if you had supper on the table when I got home, I wouldn't be so angry. That's abusive. That's manipulative. There's no excuse for that. So that's the idea, you know. And another thing is whether your original boundary that you made is appropriate. Now, if someone's constantly yelling and putting you down, then the walking out is a protective, healthy thing to do. But what happens if the boundary is not so simple? So I'll give you an example of that, he says. Very interesting. This is very Saul Kleinman. He says, if the husband and wife normally go out on Matzah Shabbos for a date, but the wife insisting to take the baby along because she feels to leave a three-month-old at home with a babysitter is not appropriate. Husband feels, no, the whole purpose of going out is with not to have the three-month-old with us. Wife is not budging. So then the husband says, okay, then I'd rather not go out. At this point, the wife could wonder to herself, is her position fully fair? Maybe she should ask objective advice. Not whether to keep shalom or not keep shalom. Or he right, she right. But just stamazai, what's the fairness of that position? Do you leave a baby home when they're 3 months old for 2-3 hours? Is that a normal thing? She does her research, and if it's a normal thing, then she could consider listening to her husband and getting a babysitter. So all of these things are very important. Now, the difference between healthy protective mechanisms and manipulation, we need to describe some aspects of what manipulation looks like. Number one, manipulation, name calling or labeling. How can you be so dense? You're a cheapskate. You're so cold, you're abusive, the labeling and name calling. Next is that killer look, a look of contempt or anger. Number three, your armchair diagnosis. Oh, I think you're getting depressed. I think you need to take a Xanax to calm yourself down, and so on. Another way of manipulating is insulting references to your spouse's family or family members. You're acting like your mother. This is the typical Steinberg family, Schwartz family. This is just the way you are. You're talking just as condescendingly like your father talks to your mother. Or blaming. We're all broke and it's your fault. Kids are out of control because you don't know how to raise them. I'm exhausted because I can't help you. You can't help me with anything. Or attacking. Why did I even marry you? Or comparison. How come he davens Meyer gets out of the house all the time and you can't? How come he takes out the garbage and you can't? Why is it my sister's house is spotless with 8 kids and our house is a mess and we only have 3 kids? Dredging up the past. You know, you forgot my birthday 2 years ago. You're back to your old habits. I'll never forgive you for what you did. Sarcasm. You're a big genius. You know, take another piece of cake. That's what you really need. No problem. You want to gain another 20 pounds. Go for it. Sarcasm. Punishing. Refusing the normal role in marriage, either outright or passive aggressively. Oh, sorry, I didn't have time to cook dinner tonight. Oh, did I forget to mention that I wasn't coming home after work? Or the cold shoulder. One word answers. Silence. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. When something clearly is wrong. Or drama. You don't love me anymore, you're crushing me, or aggressive behavior, shouting, threatening, getting in your face, and so on and so forth. All these things that we just described, that you set boundaries to arouse in some people, this is manipulation and dangerous. It is deadly, it is destructive. This is not what we're talking about, healthy boundaries. That's manipulation. So the key really is, very often, the sacha koil of this whole concept is that there are times where one needs to, in a healthy way, communicate things that are not pleasant, because ultimately it'll lead to a healthier marriage. Now, sometimes, though, it's better not to open up a subject when one or both are very tired, very hungry, or dealing with another crisis, then it's better to delay it. But the bottom line is in many marriages, there won't be a fully right time to bring up these issues. Because the touchier, more quick-tempered spouse, it will never be in the right mood to have such a conversation. And the other spouse will keep delaying it because they want to avoid this altercation. So there's never a perfect time. But you find the best possible time that you could do this. The idea behind the last few shiurim we've been giving, which is again based on Rabbi Yisrael Kleiman's book, You and Me Equals We. Again, these shiurim that we've been giving recently based on this book is what he calls counterintuitive. It's a healthy path that is sometimes ignored, but it's so, so important. Because very often for a marriage to grow and to last, honesty is the light. If you're on the high madrega and you're really able to be mevater, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But we have to be honest with ourselves. And when we're not in that mode, we're not on that madrega, we have legitimate needs, and we both have our own flaws, we need to have honesty in a healthy way be the most important factor, and to use this communication protocol, which is a win-win situation. It's not always pleasant if you're not used to it, but you get used to it and you learn how to do this in a healthy way. And when you do this, instead of draining the marriage by burying resentments and then blowing up or withdrawing, you end up working through those more difficult differences and working through them, where you ultimately get a basis of a true love, of a mutual respect, of a healthy emotional balance, and the idea of having long-term stability and growth and sincere happiness despite your differences. And even if some gaps can't be closed, but if you recognize them and you understand why some disagreements occur, you could be a healthy, strong, vibrant couple. And you could become very, very close. But you have to turn on that light of honesty and the willing to see and address and work through issues, not be afraid to. And to work through it in a normal, healthy, menschliche way. You know, this is one of those things that originally the aside was, you can't hate somebody in your heart. So when someone does something wrong, it's best to approach them directly and say, why did you do this? I'm hurt by the fact that you did this. And, you know, when you first learn this, it sounds weird because you're actually bringing up something unpleasant. But that's how you remove the loisisna. You remove the hatred by expressing the hurt and then dealing with it directly and correcting it, instead of letting it be buried deep inside and let it fester and grow and blow up. That's not a healthy thing. So these concepts are extremely important. So the idea is also that when you want to open up these conversations with your spouse, let's say a husband feels the wife lacked in her level of tzinius since she left her parents' house, or a wife noticed that the husband is slacking off in the regular learning and davening. You know, you start off these conversations by acknowledging, I'm not perfect either. There are many things in which I know I need to improve on. And I also struggle to make those improvements. And that itself, by you acknowledging your struggles, you could point out your spouse's struggles, and you could have an honest talk about that. If you do it in the right way, then the husband and wife can have an honest discussion with one another, where the wife will acknowledge that she slacked off somewhat on tznius and will explain why and what she struggles with. And he will say, yes, I have it sometimes difficult with the kids and pressure and all this with work to open a safer and learn is somewhat of a struggle. And they could talk about it and grow. And the idea of talking to each other about the fact that growth comes from love and nurturing, not pushing each other, pulling at each other, but working through things with each other. And to recognize, yes, Hashem gave me this spouse. We're here to help each other. We're here to grow together. None of us came into this marriage perfect. We have to do our best with it. That is all. You see, just from the story of Kairach, how a holy war becomes an unholy war. Same thing in marriages. It's so important to do everything you can to have a true, healthy respect for one another and let the light of honesty with a kindness prevail. And not to hide things, not to bury things, but not to blow things out of proportion either. But to have these healthy discussions and healthy protocol of communicating with each other about your needs and requests and things that need to be ironed out to be done in the best possible way. Bracha and Hatzlacha.